The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
And welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. So for this episode, we did a Twitter space. This was recorded on Thursday night, so only in the last few hours. Some things to note about it. There was a lot of Garrett Crochet talk, a lot of starting pitching talk, quite frankly, throughout the first half of it. But it was an interesting discussion, a lot more people involved in this one. Another couple of things. The audio, a little bit wonky in the first 30 minutes or so, but that got cleaned up. And mostly in the second half, there was some adult language, some F-bombs. When you have guests in the room, I can't really control that. I wouldn't say it was like a ton of them, but there are some. So if you're listening at work, just be advised. There could be some of those. So it was a great show. And I don't know how many more of these we'll do this winter. Maybe one or two more. This was our third or fourth. So but Nick Diamond was with me to start it, and then we had tons of guests. Jim Delfino, a regular, and several others. So hope you guys enjoy this, and I'll get that started for you right now. All right, man. So Charlie and I did the show yesterday with the Garrett Crochet reaction. What were your thoughts?
I mean, I was very happy. I would have liked to have given up someone else besides Teal just because our catching situation is weaker. But, you know, we got the guy at the top of the rotation and would like to get another one. But I'm very happy with Garrett Crochet at the moment. A lefty with a lot of strikeouts or a lot of strikeout potential. A little bit worried about the injury history. I know he's had Tommy John in 2022, but that's probably okay nowadays. You know, coming off the Tommy John, you probably have a few more years until the next one pops up. But I would like to get an extension done. I was trying to look at work today, kind of what an extension would look like. And I really am not sure. He's only owed $2.9 million this year. So it's not something you have to get done right now, but I think you got to get it done sooner than later. I think it'll be easier.
Yeah, you know, Crochet wasn't my first choice, or he wasn't even in my top five, but as these guys came off the board, you know, Blake Snell, Max Fried, a couple other guys, Burns seems to be out of the question. All of a sudden, Garrett Crochet sounded pretty good.
I mean, yes, I agree. I think I thought he was probably the third best option. I would have liked Corbin Burns and Fried probably above him just because they cost money only, but I probably would have had him third in like a ranking of a tier. Maybe Blake Snell over him, but I never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. And another thing, like, we had, what was it? Probably, I don't know, 18 hours between the Fried signing and then the Crochet acquisition. And in that 18 hours, I was thinking back to the Snell contract, how I laughed at it at the time, thinking, wow, massive overpay. But suddenly, 5 years sounded okay.
I probably would have, now looking back at it too, I probably would have just given that to Blake Snell. But I don't think he would have signed with the Red Sox unless it was like $35 million more.
Yeah, he seemed to prefer the West Coast. I think he's out there, and he pitched in San Francisco, San Diego. So
Of course, and there was a lot of rumors that he preferred Seattle too at one point. So he was definitely a West Coast guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think Boston would have been a long shot, and you got to have the right personality to pitch there, and not everybody has it, as we've seen. And but getting back to that Crochet deal, that's one of the reasons he wasn't in my top five, like the extension rather. Because it's a mystery. What do you pay a guy who only started one full season in his career, and only really half of that was spectacular? He had some decent abbreviated starts later on when they were managing his load, but how do you put a value on him?
It's really hard because he's been in the league for 4 years. I know he missed the whole season because of Tommy John, but he never even pitched in the minor leagues. He went straight from College World Series to the 2020 playoffs, which didn't exist in my mind. Like, that was not a real playoff, but
no.
He never pitched in the minor leagues. The only time he's ever pitched in the minor leagues was rehab coming off of Tommy John. And he's just a weird guy to look at, like, contract-wise. I was thinking, like, 8-175 would have been, like, a decent starting point. Just that I was going, like, 6 mil, 12 mil, and then, like, 28 a year after that, something like that, when he becomes a free agent. But I think it's going to be more than that because, you know, we're going to see Corbin Burns get 35, 36 mil. I just think he's not going to sign a contract unless it starts with 30 AAV after arbitration years.
Here's what I would do, or at least where I would start it. And this is a unique situation. I don't recall ever seeing anything like this, at least from the Red Sox. But I'd give him a 5-year deal at first with two expensive options tacked onto the end of it, team options though. So say $30 to $35 million options in the last 2 years, just as incentive to sign that 5-year deal. And I don't know what the 5-year deal would be worth, probably 120 to 150 or so. And I would start there.
It really depends on how much you want to give him during his arbitration years, because I think he's owed about less than $3 million. I think he's already signed. I was looking at his like SpoTrack. I don't know if he's still going to arbitration. I don't even know, but it looked like he was signed for 2.9 mil this season, and that was set in stone. So I don't think I want to go give him more money this year in an extension. I think he would have to kind of pay out next year, and then I don't know.
I don't know if he would do that because, if he goes out and wins the Cy Young this year, and he could. He had almost a 13 strikeout per nine last year in 140-something innings. So let's say he wins the Cy Young. I don't think there's any incentive at all for him to sign 1 year early. You may as well just go to free agency and, let the league go nuts, in free agency.
I'm assuming they will approach him with some sort of contract offer, but why not do it now? Like, I think they're going to wait till spring training, try to get him in the system and see what they got, but just do it now. It would make me happier if they just got it done now.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely happen this winter. And, Breslow kind of downplayed the urgency aspect of it yesterday in his press conference. He basically just said, we just want to spend some time getting to know him, getting him acclimated to our pitching program, our medical staff. And, I think we're weeks out from an extension, but I'd be shocked if they didn't already have the framework of it already.
We know that he's open to an extension. It's not like he's a Boris guy that's going to free agent no matter what. He's already brought up the extension off. Like, he wants an extension. So I think it'll get done. I'm not sure how much it's going to cost. If it's going to start with a 2 or if it's going to be closer to that 150 to 175 offer. I'm just not sure. The good thing is he's only 25 years old. So if you want to give him 8-9 years, it wouldn't go through his like 38-39 year season, He'll only be about 35 if you wanted to go crazy.
Yeah, it's a massive risk, though. I wish we had seen a bigger sample size.
I just think his stuff is so good. It's not going to matter. I just hope he can stay healthy through a full season. And, you know, I think, like, he's a big dude. What is he, like 6'6", like 250 pounds? Like, he's huge. So he's got, like, the right body for it. I don't think he's going to break down by the time he's 31, 32. Like, I think he'll be able to pitch into his mid-30s. So I'm not against giving him a longer-term contract. I can hear you now. Okay. I couldn't hear you for a while.
I think the problem was me. I undid my headphones, and I think it muted me, and I didn't realize it. So I'll...
All good.
Yeah. Where were we going on with that?
I was talking about how I wouldn't be against giving him a longer term deal just because of his age and his like body type, and I don't think he'll break down early. I think he'll be a longer lasting guy, but you never know. His arm could blow out at any time, and it's such a big risk. But I'm not against going longer than 5 years, like you said. Like, I'm okay with like 7-8 ish.
If we can basically, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to get it done. I mean, this is just so unprecedented. Chris Sale had 3 years left, so there wasn't a ton of urgency on him. And, you know, he was kind of breaking down, and I think he knew it. So he was more open to, you know, signing that extension on relatively team-friendly terms. But I just think where Crochet isn't set to make a ton of money here, I think that gives the Red Sox leverage, you know, to get it somewhat on the team-friendly side.
I think we'll get something done. I don't know if there's such thing as team-friendly anymore. I still think it's going to be a very high AAV, at least in the back end of it. But I'm okay with it. He's the right age. You know, I'm okay with giving a guy at 25 years old a long-term contract. I know a lot of people are scared about going 9-8 years for Corbin Burns at 30, but if you won't go 8-9 years on a guy at 25, you're never going to go that long. So I just hope it gets done.
Yeah, I agree. Let's let Allison speak. She's requested. I'm going to enable Bobby, but let's let Allison go first.
I certainly think he seems like he's got the potential for a long-term contract with everything I've read recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's coveted for a reason. He punched out more guys per nine innings than any other starting pitcher in the majors in 2024. So that's the guy you want. You really don't have that guy outside of Tanner Houck, you know, and even he's streaky when it comes to strikeouts.
True. Slightly different subject. Just curious what your folks' feeling is about Sasaki and any possibility the Red Sox might be aggressive at all.
As far as Sasaki, I'm getting more and more confident by the day he's not going to pick the Dodgers. According to his agent, he seems to prefer a smaller to mid-market team. I think the Red Sox, you know, regardless of what they're spending, still fall into the category of a big market team. We have one of the more rabid fan bases, so I don't know that our odds are very good, but until he signs, there's still hope.
I think they'll make a pitch. There's a very small chance they're going to sign him. I think they'll make a pitch. I mean, I hope they make a pitch to him. Like, if Sasaki's going to come here and you're going to be able to pay him league minimum and you don't even try to get him, you're just in a terrible front office. So I think they'll try. I don't think they'll get him. And I kind of agree with Terry saying here. He's kind of more interested into a small to mid-market team. I've been hearing a lot of Tigers out there and Pirates. Teams that have an ace at the beginning. So he wouldn't have to be the top guy in the rotation, but both of those teams have good rotations. I mean, I know the Tigers really only have Skubal and a couple other guys after that, but if you go Skubal, Sasaki, that team's dirty. If you go Skeens, Sasaki, that team's dirty. So I kind of get where he's coming at. He doesn't want to be in this huge market with tons of pressure, but it kind of like the Ohtani route where he went to the Angels first instead of a big market team. So I think that might be the path he chooses.
It's a pity. I really would love to see him with us, but if it isn't realistic, it isn't realistic.
Bobby, what are your thoughts right now?
Sorry, my friends, I was muted. I'm real sorry. Thank you for letting me in here.
Yeah,
I don't. I think this is a great move for the Red Sox. They needed an ace and a staff. Tanner Houck is going to be a massive force next year. And I just think that letting those four prospects go, at least we didn't give up Abreu or anybody big like that. And my major question is this. How much do you think is going to take to get Corbin Burns here?
Nick, do you want to go first on that one?
If the Red Sox want Corbin Burns, I think you have to offer him $300 million. I think he probably signs for slightly less. But if we really want him, you have to give him $300 million is what I would say. I think he'd probably go for 275, 280.
But if they're willing to go to 700, why can't they just come up with 3.5?
I think John Henry wants nothing to do with 30-year-old pitchers anymore. I agree with you there, but there's a big difference between Juan Soto and Corbin Burns. Juan Soto is a inner circle Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
A great pitcher.
Right. But you saw what he could do to us in the regular season where he just shut the Red Sox down.
Oh, I think he's very good.
I believe we only got three hits, if you hear what I'm saying.
I think I know exactly what game you're talking about. He shoved. But I'm not saying anything bad about Corbin Burns. I absolutely want him. But I don't think John Henry is going to give a $300 million contract to a pitcher over 30 ever again.
Right. I hear that. I really do. But another question that I'm going to throw at you. There's a pitcher out in, I believe I said, heard in San Diego that they're trying to get. What do you think it's going to take to get that guy over here to Boston?
Are we talking about Cease?
Yeah.
Cease, I think.
Yes.
Look, I don't remember the exact trade package because he got traded last year from the White Sox to the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be less than that.
It's
so what did, one less year of control. It'd have to be less than what they gave up.
Right, but what did Chicago give up to get him over to Seattle? I mean, to San Diego.
Let me look it up. I'll be right back. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, in regards to Dylan Cease, though, it's curious to me why the Padres would even want to move him. I mean, I don't see why they're not going to be competitive. They just had that Jackson Merrill kid have a big breakthrough. Tatis is still, you know, kind of on the up and up. Machado.
But what I've been hearing, I'm not trying to stop you here for a minute. I'm sorry if I cut you off.
Okay.
And what I'm hearing from John Heyman from MLB saying that the Padres are on a fire sale.
Well, I mean, that would make sense. And until those dominoes start falling, I mean, I'm still a little bit skeptical, but they have a very good foundation there to still be competitive. I mean, can they keep up with the Dodgers? I don't know, probably not.
I don't think so. The Dodgers got deep pockets.
Yeah, and they're pretty loaded. I don't know what the health of that pitching staff's going to be. You know, Snell is up and down. I don't know if Glasnow is going to be ready again before opening day. Ohtani, I don't think is going to be ready to pitch to start the season. So, just depends.
If the Padres are having a fire sale, do they have any catchers?
Not really.
They actually have the best catching prospect in baseball, but he is not.
But I know they have an excellent shortstop.
They have Ethan Salas, I think higher ranked than Teal was at one point. He is as a catching prospect. And I think there was a rumor out there that the White Sox asked for him for Crochet in a trade, and the Padres said no.
Okay, maybe.
So they ended up going for Teal instead. I got the return right here. So Drew Thorpe was the guy that the Padres got Soto from the Yankees. He was part of that deal.
Okay.
And then it was the number 85 prospect in baseball. Seven and eighth, who were just outside the top 100.
Right.
So I don't know how, what that would could go towards in the Red Sox system, but maybe one top 100 prospect and then flyer guys.
You think a possibility be Meyer or somebody like that make him get here, or
I think the Padres still want to compete, so I think they might rather have a guy like Willie or Abreu or Casas that are already in the majors. I don't know. But I don't even think Dylan Cease will be traded. If they land Sasaki, he might be on the trade block again. I don't think they're very serious about trading Cease. I think they want an overpay with 1 year, because he only has 1 year of control left. So I think that's the only reason they're going to actually trade him. They won, what, 93 games last year and went took the Dodgers to 5 games? They're not a bad team at all. Like, I think they could be right back in the NLCS next year.
It would surprise me if they really do want to sell off a bunch of pieces, but they could. Getting back to yesterday, I'm kind of surprised that a deal didn't happen with the Mariners, because there was a Morosi tweet at about, I don't know, 5 p.m. or so Eastern, and he said they were talking. He's a pretty good source. You know, usually he's pretty close to, you know, whatever's going on. And it just didn't happen. And I was so bummed.
I think it came out today that Breslow said that deal was never on the table, the Casas for Castillo trade.
Oh, so that's who they were trying to unload, was Castillo?
I think it was Castillo. Assuming the Red Sox wanted more of a salary swap. Castillo's making 25 or 26 mil a year. And if you're going to go give up Casas and pay Castillo 25, 26 mil a year, you might as well go pay Corbin Burns 35 mil a year.
Yeah, excellent point. I was wondering if maybe – I know they could use a lefty out there, but
– really hope they hold on to Casas. His best years are ahead of him. And he definitely has shown the potential.
Yeah. Getting back to the Castillo money, I wonder if you could get him to take maybe
Yoshida.
Yeah, because they need a lefty.
I think, was it you who said the Randy Arozarena thing yesterday?
Oh, probably. Yeah,
I would be totally cool with like Casas, Yoshida, or Castillo and Arozarena. I think you would. I really do think Casas for Castillo is an overpay by the Red Sox, unless they eat money, the Mariners, and I don't think they will. But if you got Randy Arozarena, a right-handed bat, they took Yoshida, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I you're newer to the podcast, Nick, but I was a huge proponent last year, pretty much the only one for Arozarena. And I think it was an off year for him. I think he's better than what he was last year. It might be hard to recreate some of that, you know, earlier stuff when he was like an October god for a couple of years. But, man, he could electrify that lineup.
Oh, he's a big game player. I was working with the Marlins when the last World Baseball Classic, and he went absolutely nuts in that World Baseball Classic. So he's a guy that shows up in the moment, and I would love to have him on this team batting like sixth.
I would too. Jim, what's going on?
How you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right.
How much have you covered on Crochet? Did you do much on it or no?
A little bit, but what were your thoughts?
So, I like the acquisition. I'm concerned about the player. So while I know that we need a top of the rotation starter, preferably a left-handed guy, there's obviously concerns with him, right? I mean, he's had one good season. The second half of this year, he definitely showed either being tired or he wasn't really into it. Maybe he was more disinterested because of the fact that his team is going nowhere. I worry about the pedigree in terms of his ability to be a front-of-the-rotation starter short and long term. Now, assuming that he is, I like the move. As far as what we gave up in a trade, I know a lot of people on Twitter are going bananas about it. To me, while there is a little bit of concern, there shouldn't be a lot of concern because most of these guys are lottery picks anyway. Yeah, I like Teal. I know we don't have much in the way of catchers in our system, especially ones that could hit. But we never know if this guy is going to really turn out to be the next Carlton Fisk. And as far as Montgomery's concerned, you just drafted him. So he's never even seen an inning as a member of the Boston Red Sox or any level of their organization. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. And as far as Madroth and Wilkinson Gonzalez, again, lottery tickets. So at the end of the day, you know, we're not going to know if we gave up a lot. It's going to take a few years to figure that out. But, you know, it's very rare that you can get an opportunity to acquire front end ace number one starting talent. And I think when you have that opportunity in front of you, you have to take it. Now, with that all said, you know, again, here's Mr. Negativity, which I tend to be. They haven't spent any money. They got $10 million on Chapman. They're still looking like a team that doesn't want to spend money. And look, I understand about Corbin Burns and so forth, but I mean, don't you have to go out and show the team and the fans now that it's not just this? You got to get going. And I'm really surprised nothing happened today.
Yeah, we right before you came in, Nick and I were just talking about how it seemed like there was some momentum with the Mariners, but apparently it centered around Castillo and not one of the younger guys. So that kind of got shut down. But yeah, I'm not sure. And another thing I mentioned earlier was Crochet wasn't in my top five, like on my wish list for pitchers. You know, I was open-minded to it, but it's just challenging to try to come up with a value on him if you're going to do an extension. Like, what do you give a guy that has only pitched for 1 year as a starter?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I talked to a couple other people that, you know, get their opinion. And one of the opinions that this one guy gave was, you know, maybe the Max Fried deal. Look, I you know, here's the thing. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? You look at Chris Sale, and obviously if he had stayed healthy, he probably would have had a really productive career here in Boston. And his contract extension would have been well worth it and below, you know, what the league average or what the, you know, anticipated value would be. It would have been a steal. The fact that he was hurt, it just crucified that contract. So as far as Crochet is concerned, look, he's 25 years old. I know he's a year and a half removed from Tommy John. You know, there's a lot to like there. I think if you signed him long-term, and maybe it was more team-friendly, 25, 27 per season, I think he would take it, number one, because I think he wants the contract. He mentioned that. Plus, it's also the stability. I think the biggest concern that, you know, as a Red Sox fan should have, if in fact these guys do pan out, Teal and Montgomery, and are serviceable major league players or even better, maybe even superstars, I don't think you want to lose this guy after 2 years. I think that's the biggest thing, especially if he has two good seasons. So I would sign him now. I would try to work out a contract extension. If it's bizarre, then I wouldn't do it right away. Maybe wait a year. But if it seems reasonable, why not? I mean, you got guys like, you know, Evaldi getting $25 million a season. Luis Severino getting, you know, 3 years or $66 million, whatever it was, $67 million. So I think I would take a chance on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was mentioning earlier how in the 18 hours or so between the free deal and then the Garrett Crochet extension, I was thinking back to Blake Snell deal, and suddenly it didn't sound like he had a bad contract after all, based on all the inflation we were seeing elsewhere. And I had a little bit of remorse. I'm like, well, maybe we should have tried.
You know, I don't know. The other thing that I worry about now is once you start doing something and a domino falls, you can't put the brakes on. And I said this, I think, even, you know, on the last space we had together, is that if you go ahead and get Soto, it's not enough, especially when pitching is your biggest problem. So you have to go, you know, full throttle, to use a terminology that we all hate right now. But if they didn't get Soto, which they didn't, I really feared that they would just clam right up and do nothing. So, you know, they kind of did something by getting Crochet. And I hope this just isn't a move to say, well, we're not going to spend the money, but let's go ahead and do something to appease the fans and get them off our back. And then that's kind of how it's sounding. And I really believe that until they actually spend $150, $200 million on a player this offseason, that everybody's going to feel that way. And they do have to address a lot of things here.
Yeah, a couple nights ago, we did a show just kind of eviscerating the Red Sox for not being more competitive on Max Fried. And they did go 6 years, 190. And
I thought they went the seventh year, Terry.
Oh, it was seven, 190. My bad.
No worries.
If it was 6-190, he probably would have had a better AAV.
Yep.
But so I kind of, at least they tried, like, it wasn't like a super low ball, and I kind of chilled out after that. So I think they will spend money. I don't know if it's going to be for a high priced position player, you know, like, Bregman's probably going to get about what Adamas got. So I don't know if that's going to happen. And I don't know if I really want that to happen, quite frankly, but so we'll see, I guess. But who's your on your wish list for pitchers, whether it's a free agent or another trade acquisition? I like Walker Buehler.
What's up, guys?
So I don't mind Walker Buehler. You know, he did have a good playoff. He is going to be a little bit of a reclamation project. So is a guy like John Means. I think if you really want to compete, you got to get someone that you can rely upon. So I think you got to go out and get either Castillo or Kirby or Logan Gilbert from Seattle, or Zach Gallen from the Diamondbacks. But I don't think the Diamondbacks are looking to turn it in now. The other option would be, you know, maybe a Dylan Cease out of San Diego. And I was talking to a few people and I said, you know, why not open up that trade and see if you could nab Tatis in that deal? Because that would basically be the right-handed Soto that you were trying to spend $700 million on. He'd be, you know, you'd know what his contract is, so it wouldn't be like you'd have to negotiate with him in a year or two. You could plug him into, you know, right field or whatnot, leave Duran in left and Rafael in center, or bring up Roman Anthony and move Rafael to second or shortstop, and flip-flop Story. So I think the Mariners are the best option to move a piece. And I really truly believe that the Red Sox want to move Casas. I mean, granted, look, I think the guy is, you know, he's a little out there. You know, I'm not going to get, you know, really into it, what I like and what I don't like. I just think that the Castillo for Casas thing, I think, is not a bad idea. They both have 4 years of control left. You're getting Castillo for whatever he's making, $27 million or $25 million, $23 million. So he's cost controlled there. he'd make a nice number two starter after Crochet.
Go ahead, Juan. Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Jim.
I don't want.
Good. I think the way they're going is Jones, to be honest with you. I think the move is going to be with Pittsburgh. I don't think they don't like the lefty bat in Seattle, which is why everybody you have being left-handed makes it really hard to move some to Seattle. I think Jones is the pick, is the move, especially with the relationship with Ben. I am not big into paying free agent pitchers. I've talked with Jim about this multiple times. No interest in giving a guy in his 37, 8 years. I trade all my prospects for arms. I don't believe in prospects to begin with. I move all prospects for my arms and I pay for bats, which I think is what they're going to do. Everybody's in a hurry to have them jump on something, but Bregman's still there. Burns is still there. There's a lot of people you have to realize. The last two pitchers, they signed 7-8 year deals, bit them in the ass here. I'm not in any hurry to pay Freed, Burns, or any of those guys 7-8 years. I think Burns is going to be one of the biggest busts of this free agent class, which is why he's still there.
I think the second half of that deal for sure won't be good, especially as you see the strikeout rate dropping. But he's 30. I think he'll probably be okay through his age 33, 34 season. But I'm not all gung-ho for him either. But with Jared Jones, though, I mean, why would you want to split him up from Paul Skenes? I just don't.
They don't have a lot of position players coming up. Okay. They're loaded with young pitching. He would be the guy I'd go for. And then if you're looking for a catcher, I'd try to work something out in Milwaukee and get their young catcher who's blocked. I think his name is Orifis or something. I'm probably butchering it, but he's a phenomenal prospect, but he's blocked in Milwaukee. Again, you spend your money on bats. You know, I'm old enough to remember when it came down to, did you want Mussina or did you want Manny? Contracts were basically the same. Duquette said, I want the guy that plays 150 games. He's more valuable to me. Nothing's really changed, especially the way pitching is today. You know, four guys in the American League pitched through 200 innings. One of them threw 200 exactly. It's basically you're throwing out your ass for 4 to 6 innings and you're going to the bullpen. I don't believe in paying that astronomical price for a guy that's going to get hurt because of the way the game is today. I would load up with young arms like they're doing, move your prospects for younger arms, controllable younger arms, and go sign bats.
Well, I find it very interesting that Burns hasn't signed. I mean, you know, the thought process on the street was that he was the number one guy, you know, and it's –
I never thought he was, to be honest with you.
Well, no, I think that's what the word on the street is what I'm trying to say. I mean, my point is that – here you are another day, and he's not signed. And it sounded like 2 days ago, Boris was saying, you know, he's signing by tonight. And, of course, there was a lot of rumblings with the Red Sox and the Giants and so forth. So it is telling, I think, that he hasn't signed yet. I mean,
the number's scary for the age. The velo is down, the spin rate's down, and I'm not into all those numbers, but velo I am. Strikeout rate I am. Those numbers matter. You know, again, he's never really pitched in a big market. So how's he going to do? Everybody's like, he's going to be an animal. How do you know? I mean, he's pitched in Milwaukee and Baltimore.
Well, this is why I would rather sign a pitch. If I'm going to sign a pitcher that's a free agent, I really don't want to go more than 4 years.
I mean, obviously, any free agent, Jim, I'm going with Buehler. I think he's got the most upside and he's the youngest.
Yeah.
Buehler as well.
Yeah, and again, I really don't want to go more than 4 years on that. So
I think you could get 3 in all honesty with him, with an option.
You could do an option. Maybe it's a vesting option considering he's coming back from, you know, a surgical procedure. Yeah. But maybe you do 3 and 90. I don't know.
I don't think you have to go that high with him. He's probably in the Evaldi range, like the 375. But my first move would be Jones.
Yeah, I do too.
I agree with the assessment on Buehler. I think he's probably looking at about what Evaldi got. And yep. I would even do opt-outs after the first and second year just to get a get-right year so bad in terms of performance and in terms of public perception.
Absolutely.
So I would, even if I had to put opt-outs in it right away, I would do that.
Yep.
I would too. I would too.
But those would be the guys I'd go after. I want Jones and I want Bueller.
Either that or you do a one-year pillow contract. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to want that.
No, I don't either.
He's definitely not going to sign that because there's so many people desperate for pitching. But agreed. Those are the two guys from people that I talk to that I trust. Those are the type of guys I need to be looking at. Long-term solutions, not quick fixes, and you're doing this again next year. I heard you guys talk a little bit earlier, too, with Crochet. I thought he was the best available pitcher, period. You just can't keep 6'6", 240, and that type of power. Let him grow into the role. You don't have to be blowing the guy out the first year. And, yeah, to me, he's a no-brainer. And you didn't have to give up Anthony for him, so that's a win-win. I don't care who else you had to give up. You didn't give up Anthony.
I know I missed the last few minutes here, but I know you brought up Jared Jones for sure.
Yes.
He's disgusting and very good and under control for a long time. It's just me right now with the Pirates. They have a great rotation with Paul Skenes, Jared mm-hmm. Jones, and Mitch Keller. I know they just traded Luis Ortiz, but they have three guys under control for a long time. Why would they give any of them up unless you're absolutely blown away? Like,
they don't have a lot of offensive depth in the system there.
They also came forward and said that they were available.
They already traded one. I think if they trade Jared Jones, I don't know if a lot of you agree with this, but I think Sasaki has a chance to go to the Pirates. I really do.
He has a chance to go anywhere, to be honest with you.
Because he's not costing anybody any money. I mean, he's basically, in baseball terms, he's free. But you look at a team like Pittsburgh, and you look at a team like, say, Chicago. Okay, so I got this stud pitcher, but I have nothing else around him. By the time I have stuff around him, I don't have anything left.
Yeah. It's just our payroll's at $160 million, and we have so much more to play with. I'd rather go spend the money.
I think you're going to spend the money offensively. I'd rather give up prospects. If I know I'm getting a guy that's a legit player, pitcher, or player, I'm giving up the prospects. Everybody's all heartbroken about Teal. Do you guys remember Blake Swihart, who was the wonder kid, can't miss kid? He was highly rated than Teal.
He was also supposed to be better than Vasquez, and they were even talking about moving Vasquez at the time.
So, I mean, I don't fall in love with any of these picks. You know, Moncada was the number one rated prospect in baseball. Dabrowski was smart enough to keep Devers. You know, this is where a general manager in a baseball operations department earn their money. You need to know who your pretenders are and who your prospects are.
Of course, you got to go evaluate who's the real player and who's not. I promise you, out of these four players, one of them is going to be bad. In my opinion, it's Marcelo Meyer. Good?
Yeah, you mean superstar or a dud?
What do you mean bad? I think
there's going to be one of them that's a dud, and I think it's Marcelo Meyer.
I would agree with you. 100%.
I think there's going to be more than one.
Yep.
I don't care. I mean, I'm open to trade still, but I'm not trading Campbell because he's a righty. I'm still not trading Anthony for any.
Those are the two untouchables for me too, Terry, because you need some right-handers coming through the system.
Yeah, exactly. You got
I kind of agree with that. Mine would have been Anthony and Teal, but I'm also biased on catchers.
Oh, I am too, but the problem is he's another left-handed bat, Nick, and this is the problem why you need to make trades with these kids, because you can't have, as much as everybody's like, oh, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. You can't put seven left-handers in your lineup.
No.
You know?
I completely agree with that. I hate leaving a hole at catcher. I know we made a trade last night with the Yankees.
That kid can catch, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
He's pretty good. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know much about him. I know he's
elite defensively.
Yes, great defender. I know he's three major league hits.
Houston's won two World Series and went to nine ALCSs or whatever it is with a guy who can't hit. So
exactly.
At that position, catch the ball, field the position, call a game, and I'll deal with anything else, to be honest with you.
Yeah, look at Sandy Leone. I mean, Sandy Leone couldn't pay his way out of a paper bag, but he could frame, he could catch, he could call a good game, and you'd take him back right now.
Yeah, I mean, most of you, you know, so many catchers are like overrated on what they really are. I mean, everybody around here loves Veritek. I've seen Veritek play probably more games in person than anyone in this chat. You know, he was nothing great defensively. He could
Veritek could not throw.
Couldn't throw.
Nope.
Nothing great defensively. Could call a game. You know, so I mean, the position, it's always the beauty's in the eye of the beholder with that position. For me, field the position on the elite level and call a game at the elite level, and I don't care if you hit 200.
Yeah. For what it's worth, James McCann's been brought up, and Lucas Giolito has pretty good numbers with
everybody McCann on the staff has almost pitched to him, you know.
Yeah, Crochet and Giolito have very good numbers to him.
Yeah, so that's valuable to me, and you know, as Jim mentioned, I was a big Sandy Leone guy, and yep. I don't know if Rick Porcello wins a Cy Young with any other catcher.
Probably correct. Not.
Rick Porcello should not have won the Cy Young anyways, but
those Tampa writers screwed Verlander bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
I would have given it to Zach Britton that year, but
look at Wakefield, right? Wakefield would never have even probably made as many starts effectively as he did if it wasn't for Mirabelli. So
yeah, it's like losing Teal's tough, but again, it's another lefty, he's an unproven kid again. I've watched him a bunch of times. Defensively, I think he lacks a lot, to be honest with you, still. Everybody thinks he's close. I'm really not sure he was that close. But you never know.
I don't know how smart these guys are, but I was just looking through, like, White Sox Twitter last night.
Yep.
And a lot of people were saying they wanted Teal to play left field.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you what it is, though. Again, you know, I talk to Jim a lot. It's the same thing with Wong. I think if Wong's playing second base, first base, or somewhere else, I think he's a 290, 300 hitter. I think his problem is he breaks down because he's small, like 6'1", 180, same as Teal. That's a long season behind the plate, man, when that's your frame.
Another thing with Teal is the record deal for the White Sox is the Benintendi deal.
Yeah,
however many years, 5 at 75, something like that. So you gotta think Boris can't be too happy with the landing spot.
No, it's not a great situation. But he's handcuffed anyways till he's through arbitration. I mean, I don't see him coming in. You know, I can't remember the last time a catcher signed a deal early. Because it takes so long to really develop at that position at the big league level.
Well, yeah, catchers, they burn out by 31, 32 years old.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about this for a long time. When was the last really good catcher that went to free agency? And there's only one that I can think off the top of my head. And he re-signed.
Rodriguez.
Oh, I'm thinking more recent, like good catch. Like JT Realmuto went to free agency.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer, but
– no. That's why I said Rodriguez, because it's not really a position that moves around a lot.
No, if you have a good catcher, like Salvador Perez was locked up. JT Realmuto was locked up. If you have a good catcher that's going to be around for a long time, Yadi Molina was locked up. Buster Posey never changed teams. These guys don't change teams. If you have a good catcher, you keep them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also not
well, because they're also working. They're also working with, you know, 75 or 80% of your pitching staff, including your starters. So, you know, they know the tendencies, they know the players, they know how to pitch, they know how to frame, you know. So, yeah, there's a big reason to want to keep a catcher.
Well, yeah, a great catcher is probably 95% psychiatrist and 5% catcher.
Yep.
Question for
you. Let's let Jeremy in.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Easy question for y'all. If we don't trade for another pitcher after, but we sign another one, like top starter-ish, like Buehler or something, who goes to the bullpen?
Crawford.
I think Cutter Crawford gets traded.
I think he's a great piece.
I think he's good for a throw-in, Crawford.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's some teams that would really value him, and there's some teams that would think he just sucks.
Yeah, I definitely agree, but I just want to know who y'all would put in the bullpen.
Yeah, Crawford. Because
you can't put Lucas Giolito in the bullpen at 19, 20 mil a year, whatever it is.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
And
no, I appreciate it.
I'm not a big Richard Fitz proponent or Quinn Priester, but one of those very well could emerge as a next Cutter Crawford type guy. You know,
I actually think Priester's going to turn out a little better than everybody thinks.
Roberts.
Juan, is that your real name? I'm sorry, yeah.
No.
No, it's, I 100% agree with you on that. I think Quinn Priester is going to be given a lot of chances.
Yeah.
I think Breslow Fitz really is in the book. And he's really high on him.
Yep. And
I think he's got upside. You know, I mean, you got to realize, too, that, again, Pittsburgh's doing something right with their pitching. So I know they gave up on this kid. But I think if Bailey, you know, and I'm not a Bailey fan, but I think they can figure something out with him. I really do.
And we all know who's in charge of the Pirates now.
Yeah. Yep.
And then my other question is, what do you guys think about Sims for the bullpen next season?
Lucas Sims?
Lucas?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want him setting foot in Fenway Park again.
Nah, he was pretty awesome. Very impressive.
Yeah.
I think if they make a big splash pitching-wise in free agency, it's a closer.
Tanner Scott.
I'm hoping for one more starter. That's
I think you're going
to we need another.
I just don't think it's going to be a free agent. Yeah,
we need another starter not named John Means.
I'm telling you, you signed him.
I'd take a flyer on him, though, Nick.
Yeah. I'm not mad if we sign
I'm
him.
I'm not against the John Means signing, but he's out for the year, if you guys didn't know that.
Yeah, 100%.
He's a Tommy John sign and stash guy, and
yeah,
he's been good in the past. I'm not against it, but.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'd take a flyer on him. Yeah. You know, you want to stuff him in the minor leagues and let him rehab? That's fine.
Didn't he come back late last year?
He came back early last year and then got Tommy John again.
Oh, that's right. That's
double.
Right.
That's why he's got to come to the Sox. That's why.
Yeah, we pay to rehab people.
Yeah, get him on a minor
league
deal.
Love to sign a rehab.
If you go look at his stats, he had 4 starts and like a 2.6. So he pitched well in the starts, but he blew out his arm again.
I think the last time he pitched a full season was 21, I want to say.
Yeah, he's got like 4 starts in the last 4 years or something, like 10 starts in 4 years. Not real good. But as a depth piece, you throw him in the minors, you let him work his way back.
Exactly.
He's got more upside than any other reclamation projects they've signed.
He tops out at 90 miles an hour, if even that. That's why I don't want him. I mean, he's just kind of an off-speed guy.
Yeah, those lefties can do that for a long time, though, Terry.
That fits Bailey, though, 100%.
Yeah, I think we're missing those power strikeout guys.
Yeah, I want power arms. I agree. But for this, if you can get him on a minor league contract and hide him for a year and let him rehab, it's worth the gamble.
I agree.
Let's bring up one other name that hasn't yet, and I want no part of him coming back, and that's Nick Pivetta. If we don't end up with an upgrade over him, that's just...
Why would you want him back anyway? You'd lose the draft pick at this point, so let him go.
It's not worth the money that he's going to get.
The Reds or
Mets take him.
Yeah, the Reds have been connected to him in the last 24 hours. They were competitive with us on the Crochet deal, and we ended up obviously winning it. But we need another number two or better, and that's definitely not Pivetta.
Let's ask this: would you rather have Pivetta or Cutter Crawford in the rotation? Because I know who I'd want.
I'd want Crawford.
I'd want Crawford.
100% Cutter Crawford. So I have no interest in signing Nick Pivetta as a long reliever.
Zero.
Yeah, none. His attitude sucks. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the other reason I don't want him back is because you lose the draft pick now at this point.
Yep.
Let him go. Yeah. And I don't want him, and I don't want any. I don't want Manaea either, because you're going to pay in a draft pick for him too.
Yeah, I'm not
touching him either.
Well,
I don't hate Pivetta, but.
You it'll be a lateral move because we're going to get a pick from the Orioles O'Neill. So it doesn't bother me that much.
We don't get the pick for O'Neill. He didn't get the offer.
He didn't get the qualifying.
Oh, crap. Yeah, he didn't. You're right.
No.
For some reason, they picked Pivetta over O'Neill.
I think that's a good decision. I didn't take any chance of being stuck with O'Neill.
They kind of read the market perfectly, to be honest.
I don't think Toronto. I don't think Baltimore would have signed Tyler O'Neill if he
nobody would have.
Yeah, no one. We would have had him 100%.
We'd be stuck with him.
Which I wouldn't be mad at because he was injured for a lot of the season, but he's still.
Well, he's injured his whole career.
But that's the problem. He's injury prone. That's the problem.
Yeah, but throw him in the DH. I want Yoshida personally off the team.
Oh, everybody wants Yoshida off the team, but I don't want O'Neill back either because he's a softball player. He's a guy who I can't understand how he's won two gold gloves because he looks atrocious out in the field.
Yeah.
The guy, if any ground ball to him, he can't fucking field it.
I told you, the new hot corner is left field.
Yeah.
Very difficult fielding ground another balls. Guy, 200 feet away.
I'm not a big Teoscar guy.
I think he's going back to the Dodgers anyways. I don't think you had a word.
Yeah,
I don't know how true everything is, but I think his last report was he had better offers than the Dodgers, but he's just still holding out.
Yeah, there was a post on Twitter that it's kind of on the closer side.
I mean, I'd rather have Santander than him, to be honest.
No,
I don't want him either.
I don't like Santander's on base.
Strikes out too much.
I'd rather have Teoscar in that case because he's a natural righty, but yeah.
I'm going to watch a guy strike out. Just move Casas, package him up with Dick Willie and Sang Alonso.
Not all.
And really get a guy that can hit 40 home runs at Fenway, not this whole potential guy shit. I'm so sick of hearing about his potential.
Think we all know that Willie Abreu's gone. I just don't know to who at this point.
I think Casas is our first baseman next year, for sure, though.
I do, too. I think Casas is going to be on the team.
I feel like people forget.
Yeah, it all depends.
People forget. Not last year, the year before, second half of the season, he's the best baseball player.
Right, but Jeremy, here's the problem with that. He's never healthy.
Yeah,
I just hate giving up on him when he has the lowest value.
Yeah.
If the worst rookie season, I would have been more okay with him trading him now when he barely played.
Yeah, the worst word in baseball, any sport, potential. You got to start to show it. You can't be hurt all the time. That's my problem with Mayer. He's soft as shit. And then the Casas, I think he's soft. And the drama that comes with him, I know people in that locker room, man. Trust me when I tell you, they would not lose a second sleep if he was gone.
Is there like a right-handed bat you could make, a young right-handed bat we could make a lateral move with? Like, we'll give you Casas because you need a lefty. We'll take your righty, and then all is well with the world. Because
you're talking infielder or outfielder, Terry?
Either or, I don't care. Just give me a right-handed bat with some upside, and we'll slot him in.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know I'm not. I don't have any. I'm actually walking around a park right now. So
I don't know.
I'd just sign Alonso. I really wouldn't spend the money. He's 50 home runs at Fenway.
If you want to be really, I would not do this trade first off. But Spencer Torkelson has never lived up to the potential in Detroit,
right.
And that ballpark is massive compared to Fenway Park. I think he'd be better at Fenway. I wouldn't do Casas for Torkelson straight up, obviously, because Torkelson's sucked. But I think that could be a guy you could target if you gave up Casas in a different deal.
And they're both relatively young, too. He's only 25.
And I know Terry, I know I got a little nuts over Paul Goldschmidt a couple shows back, but I ain't against him. I'm really not.
I would like that, too. I mean, you're talking about a professional. He'd come in there. He'd help a lot of these young kids.
To give him 7-8 years. Like
no, nope, I think it would be a fantastic move if you move Casas to bring in Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I agree. But that's my point with Alonso too. He's got some veteran leadership. This team has none.
If you do Goldschmidt, are you believing in like Blaze Jordan at that point though? Like, or are you looking down the line to get Vladdy?
I think you can get Goldschmidt for 1 year. I really do. Yeah. I think you could sign Goldschmidt for 1 year, like $16 million.
Yeah.
And just take him at first base.
1 year.
And then
if
you want to go for Vladdy for $400 or $500 million the next year, go ahead. I'm all about
that. Yeah, I think he's going for more than that after what we just saw this year.
Yep.
I think if you asked me last year, it would be $350 million, but now I think it's going to start at $450 million.
I think it's going to be around.
For Vladimir, it's going to be over $550 million for Vladimir.
You think so?
He's going to be at least $600 million. Yeah. That's the going number right now. He's 25 years old.
As a first baseman.
That's where I get into arguments with like some people are like, oh, you know, like you talk about Durant. Durant's older than like half the guys we're talking about.
Durant,
you know, like
what,
when they
27?
Say he's part of the young nucleus. Durant, he's 29.
Like yeah, Guerrero's going to be a free agent at 26 at first base.
Durant's not 29.
He's going to get paid.
Yep, he's gonna get probably 500
or 600. Durant right
29?
Now is 28. He's what?
He's 28, my bad. I thought he was 27. But yeah.
Yeah, no. When's his birthday?
He's going to be 29.
So yeah, he'll be 29.
Yeah, so he's not a young building piece anymore.
I don't know.
You have him if you count If you count this year, though, I think he's got 4 years of control left. Yeah, so I still value him. He hits.
Oh yeah, me too. But he's never going to get paid here in a big deal because he's got arbitration until he's 32. No.
But that's why I'd keep him. You know.
Well, they're going to go year to year with Durant. They have no reason to extend him.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think you keep Durant until his contract runs out, and then you let him walk. You don't sign speed first guys to long term deals.
First thing to go is the length.
He's like a guy that's out of the league at 36, but he might have 5 good years in him, like 5 really good years.
Totally agree, Nick.
Another guy who's like controllable until like age 32 is Tanner Houck. So he's another guy
you don't have to pay him either.
Nope, you just go year to year.
Yeah, exactly. A thing I want to bring up, you guys mentioned the Vladimir projections at about 550. It's definitely going to be way more. I was thinking before the craziness here in the last couple of weeks, I was thinking he was like being a first baseman, especially like 300 to 350 tops. I mean,
yeah, he's going to be 600, 625.
Well,
I think it'll be lower than that because he's a first.
Yeah. I think it's lower than that. I do think it's more than 350 now. But I was
close. Who's a better player, Soto or Vlad?
Soto,
yeah.
How about when you look at the numbers? Who's a better player?
Soto, and it's not even close in my opinion.
Okay.
And he's got a ring.
The tantalizing thing.
Had nothing to do with him. It was just a piece.
That doesn't really matter.
Vladimir's numbers. Vladimir's numbers at Fenway are off.
Well, if he has what it takes, the Yankees would have won this year. He wouldn't have been.
That's what happens when Aaron Judge makes the playoffs. He's a dead corpse at that point. So.
Guys, so the reason I bring up Vladimir is to kind of go off of an idea Jim had several minutes ago. Call up the Padres and ask about Tatis, because suddenly his deal for 350 looks pretty good, and you've got 9 or 10 years on it. I'd be a little concerned about the off-the-field stuff. You know, he broke his wrist dirt biking, and, you know, he has a PED suspension, but – that's a guy. I mean, I see a lot of value there. You know, for the deal he signed,
that'd be huge. I mean,
25 years old, face of the franchise.
That'd be huge. I just don't know how much you have to give up for him. I feel like that's a.
There's no prospect more valuable than him.
I talked to Juan and a couple other people about that too. I just got their opinions. I says, what if you could get Cease and Tatis start with Roman Anthony?
Oh, no, I don't want to do that.
I'm big on Roman Anthony.
The thing that
you're going to get Tatis, you're going to have him for 10 seasons.
I would do it.
I agree.
And you're going to have a front of the rotation starter.
Yeah.
I would definitely do it.
It's 1 year like it's of good. Dylan Cease and what, 11 years of Fernando Tatis?
Who you already know what he is, so there's no risk involved.
And you already know what you're paying him.
I think the Padres tell us to fuck off.
No, I don't think so. I think they're looking to rebuild. I mean, look, they're already saying what's his face is available too. Arise. So
he's a free. He's got 1 year left too.
Yeah,
he's the guy that I would never extend Luis Arise.
And they even said Bogarts is available. They're listening on everybody.
Well, yeah, of course Bogarts is available. Look at the contract.
Yeah, so I mean, so they're going to start to crumble down. I would definitely do it. I mean, that's a tantalizing offer for a team like San Diego, who has a couple young guys coming through the system. That might be something to start with.
I would go Meyer and Casas. That's my best and final.
That's not enough. I'd probably
no, that's not enough, Terry. They're not going to want
for a 32-year-old pitcher.
They're not going to want 4 years of Casas. They're going to want somebody younger than that.
They would have to extend him right away, I would say. But the thing about Anthony is he's a lefty who crushes lefties. I can't move on that.
He does in the minor leagues. We don't know what he's going to do in the major leagues.
He's got play over 100 games, whoever else thought.
I like Anthony too.
But if you can headline and get a guy like Tatis and Cease in a deal, and it could start with him, you've got to explore that.
Yeah, explore it.
You also have to realize, like, he's the number one prospect in baseball, okay? He's not, like, the guy type thing like you've seen before. He's not Trout. He's not Hopper. He's not Soto. He's not one of those guys coming through the system. Those guys are already in the big leagues at 18, 19 years old. If you can get Tatis, he's 25.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not giving up Anthony for just anybody. But if I can go to San Diego and I say to them, is Tatis available? And if they turn around and they say, for the right price, for the right players, so what about Roman Anthony?
Yep.
I'll listen. You know, Preller might say, I'll listen. And if you have that chance, I mean, where's the next guy that's going to be a dynamic right-handed impact Manny Ramirez bat coming from?
No one in the system.
No one in our system.
Juan Soto, and we didn't get him.
He's not right-handed, though.
And he's not right-handed either.
Fair, but that was the next guy.
I'd rather have
that was the guy. There's nobody else coming around the pike that you could get. And this is a pipe dream anyway. But I mean, if they're willing to listen, you got to take that opportunity. It's the same thing with Crochet. Like I said, it's the same thing with Josh Beckett. The same thing with Chris Sale. The same thing with Pedro Martinez. When a team is going to talk to you about their stud guy,
You have to listen
and you have to try to make it happen because they don't grow on trees.
Nope.
I'm not saying it's not intriguing because it is, but I just can't get there. I don't think I can move Anthony or Campbell under any circumstances. And I'm not saying Campbell has.
So Terry, if Tatis came here and batted 280 with 35 home runs for the next 11 years, would you miss Anthony that much?
It's so hard.
If you could tell me that we'd have a batting order of Tatis and then Devers and then Casas, because at this point, we're not talking about giving up Casas if you go get Tatis and Cease.
He's probably not in that deal, no.
If you could have that 2-3-4 for the next 10 years, I'm going nuts. I don't care. I would be so happy.
So you'd have Devers, Tatis, and Casas if you want to talk that way.
Yes.
And Duran. So that's your first 4 or 5.
What I was saying earlier is I have known Roman Anthony since he was 14 years old. Roman Anthony's the best baseball player that I've ever seen. And I have seen Juan Soto hit.
Best baseball player that you've ever seen?
I agree. I think he's that good. I don't...
That's a huge statement. I mean, there's been thousands of players.
I'm a guy who's grown up in South Florida my entire life and has seen a lot of baseball players from 14 to 18 years old before they got drafted. He's the best at that age I've ever seen.
That's fine. I mean, I don't know. You would know better than I, but yeah. Oh yeah. Listen, hey, I, again, I'm not saying that I would give him away for, a bad deal or for anybody, you know, but if I have an opportunity to get a generational right-handed bat, I gotta look at that.
Yes. I agree. I would do it. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think that happens.
I don't think so either, but again, who knew that Carl Pavano and Tony Armas Jr. would get us Pedro?
Yeah.
So, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, Chris Sale from Moncada and Kopech. Never thought I'd see the day that Chris Sale would be a Red Sox. I remember Jimmy Jimmy Stewart, he's like, I would love to have Chris Sale. I mean, this was like a year before we had him.
The reason that happened is because he cut up his jersey. He didn't want to stay there, so everyone's lowballing him. And Johan Moncada at the time was what, top 5 prospect in baseball? I mean, that
was the number one. He was the number one prospect in the game.
Exactly. So I mean, it wasn't.
So you can't say they got lowballed. The they got your number one pitching prospect and your number one prospect in baseball. That's not a lowball offer.
No, not at all.
He made the right move there when he told them Devers was not going to be part of it.
Lowballing them because they knew Chris Sale wasn't going to pitch for them.
So if you go to Preller and say, listen, you know, it looks like you're rebuilding a little bit here. You got some contracts and you got a lot of money that you spent. We'll go ahead and what about trading Tatis and headlining it with Anthony? Yeah, I think he'd listen too.
Yeah, I do too.
I wouldn't start with that though. I would.
I would.
I would try to go.
Oh, you're not gonna go in. You don't have a conversation if you don't start with him.
No, you don't have a conversation if you don't start with Anthony.
I don't think there's a conversation at all. if we're being honest. I don't think the Padres are rebuilding in 2025, maybe 2026. But I still kick the tires one more time. I really do.
I mean, we're talking about someone that's compared to Christian Yelich, MVP winner, though. Like, I don't know.
I think that's comparison. If we're talking Roman Anthony, that's his ceiling is Yelich.
Christian Yelich is he's in decline.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking MVP Yelich.
And if he's the greatest baseball player you've ever seen, Christian Yelich just is very disappointing.
I'm saying best high school player I've ever seen, and I've seen fucking. Mostly pitchers. I've seen like Tuki Toussaint, Andrew Painter were big time names that I've played against.
Well, from my perspective, dealing with these guys like three times a week in the entire farm system, the ball sounds different coming off of Campbell's bat than it does in Cespedes' bat than it does anyone in the system.
And a lot of the prospects have said that too. They're like, Campbell, it comes off of Campbell's bat differently.
Campbell and Cespedes, the ball comes off their bat different.
Yeah, Campbell's a star for sure.
Terry's high on Campbell for sure, and I agree because he could play anywhere.
I love Campbell. I love Campbell, and it's not just because he's a right-handed bat. He's an infielder. You get a potential. I mean, again, you got to look at it. I mean, he was the minor league player of the year, and you had the minor league player of the year and the number one prospect in baseball, and they were two different people. So you know, the fact that he's right-handed, he's an infielder. Oh, I'm salivating for that.
He could give you 25 to 30 at Fenway.
You think he could also play outfield if you really needed him to. Probably
I mean, I'm salivating like Alex Rodriguez right now for Campbell.
Think he starts this year at some point?
I think he starts opening day.
That's the problem. He should make opening day. Is the question.
I really do.
I think he starts.
It depends. If you can get, off season, but yeah, I hear you.
If you can get a right-handed bat, I'm an Arenado guy, and we can debate. We can list off four or five different people that can help this team.
For sure. Yeah.
But if you get one of those guys, and then Campbell comes up by mid June or so, if he has a decent start,
playing second to start the season, Terry?
Grissom. I think he plays left field to start the season.
Grissom starts second.
Oh, Grissom can't play. Let just end the Grissom stuff. That kid can't play.
What do you mean? He had a last month, and he was injured, and he was
he
sick.
Can't play.
What do you mean?
I've seen him play over 250 games.
Jeremy, he had a great last month when it didn't mean anything.
Yeah, but let him
just like when Casas got caught, Mr. Elimination.
He's the youngest player on our team last year, right?
He can't play. I don't care if he's the oldest. He can't play.
I think that's a bad take.
I think it's a great take I don't think the Atlanta Braves gave up on top prospect for no reason. He doesn't have a position because he can't play defense. And if you look at his real numbers, they're skewed because a lot of his balls are like little flares. He's not driving the ball. I've seen him play a million times. The kid can't play.
Well, everybody's in love with him because he had a home run as a member of the Braves in Fenway Park, and they think he's fantastic.
That's not wrong.
Kid just can't play.
For me personally.
I'm not going to go as far as saying he can't play, but if you tell me right now if you – I'd rather have Campbell over him every single day.
100%.
Absolutely. But that's the problem. That's the problem that we were talking about. The fact that he could actually make the opening day roster over Campbell, I think, ridiculous. Is egregious. It's egregious.
You have three middle infielders that are better than him right now.
Yep. As of right now, I think Campbell plays outfield. I think Campbell plays left field. I think Duran plays center, and I think Rafael plays right. And I think William Abreu is off this team.
So why do you think that he would play left field when he's been playing the infield?
And who's playing second in that lineup?
I think you have a platoon between Grissom and David Hamilton.
Yeah. See, you can't be a championship team with like you.
David Hamilton, yeah.
I'm not saying that's what I would do. I'm saying that's what I think happens.
See, what I get, what
do that, Nick, with like a different second baseman every day. I mean, this team's one, more one of the second baseman than any team in the history of baseball. Like
one of the things that I hate is when we start talking about really young players playing multiple positions.
Yeah.
Because there's the psychological aspect of that too. You look at Rafaela, they had him playing two of the most premier positions on the diamond, and he had to be able to zig and zag with that all the time. I mean, you're playing shortstop. You got to know, are you covering or am I covering? Is this guy going to be a tendency to pull the ball, not pull the ball? You got to get good reads in the outfield. There's a lot going on there. I honestly believe if they kept him at one position, either one, short or center, his average would have been higher. His OPS would have been higher because he had to think too much defensively, and it impacted his offense.
100%. I agree with that. 100%.
I think everyone agrees with that. I think if you kept him at center field right now, he would have a lot more trade value than he does now.
I think if
you look at his advanced stats, he sucked at shortstop, and he was a great center fielder.
He wasn't great at short because he kept going back and forth from short to center.
He was below average, but I don't want to say he sucked.
I don't think he was a great shortstop. I think he could be a very good center fielder. I don't think he will ever be a great shortstop.
I think he's a gold
glove. So if you want him to
I don't know.
Reach Adrian, his value.
Adrian Beltre had 48 errors, too, his rookie year.
Yeah, as a rookie, you got to play one position to get a master. When you're playing a game, when you're playing second, then you go in the center, then you go in the short, and you're trying to learn how to hit the ball and be a big league player, it's a lot for a kid.
You also could have traded him if you didn't extend him. I think he would have had more value if he wasn't extended.
I mean, yeah, look, I'm on record for saying I don't think I would have extended him that quickly either.
I think he's
a phenomenal utility guy.
There was a premium on him because he was a righty, but he never overcame the pitch recognition problem that he had. And he wasn't terrible last year. I mean, he was making contact and hitting.
He was one of the best clutch hitters they had, Terry.
It always seemed like he was better than his numbers.
Yep.
He wasn't drawing walks, though. He wasn't a balanced hitter. He was probably the best nine-hole hitter in all of the majors. I'll give him that.
But what do you think they had him focusing on majority of the time? Defense or offense?
Probably
I'm saying defense because they had him playing three positions.
Yeah, he played shortstop more than he played center field, which never really happened in the minors.
Played second
base.
And that's only solely because you got a $140 million shortstop that can't stay healthy.
Yep.
I look at Rafaela and I look at all the talent we have in the pipeline, assuming no more major trades happen, and I'm like, it's hard to keep him in the lineup every day.
He's got to be a utility guy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean.
If you trade Willier, I think Rafaela starts every day this year. If you don't trade Willier, then he's definitely the utility guy, and he could be the everyday second baseman. Who knows at this point?
Yeah, Campbell's going to play over him. He's a better player.
If Campbell doesn't make the roster after opening day, and I don't think he will, it wouldn't be the biggest shock, but I would go with a Romy Hamilton platoon.
Oh,
At second, I'm saying. I'm not saying I love it, but I think it's Romy was putting together some pretty good bats.
That's not a championship caliber team.
Well, hopefully it's a 2 or 3 month thing. I'm not saying the whole season, but
why does it even have to be a 2 or 3 month thing?
Yeah.
I mean, if his spring training stinks, then fine. I get it. But if he has a very good spring training, then there's no reason why he shouldn't start the year on the team.
Well, then he will start if he crushes it in spring training. But I don't think I don't know if we want to gamble on that in December, though, is all I'm saying.
I don't know. He had a good spring last year. I can't think of too many players. I've been thinking for a while. How often the number one ranked player in baseball is in your AAA level and the player of the year in the minors is in your AAA level and the following year neither one of them come up and play on the big club? I mean, I don't know.
I know Teal is gone, but those four prospects played 53 combined games at AAA and four guys.
Yeah, well, AAA is really only a stopping ground now. The best players don't even really go there anymore.
No, they come right from AA.
If you go back to the Epstein era, he had this principled schedule for all of them where they were not going to go up unless they had 400 at-bats.
Yeah, that's 20 years ago, though.
But how many breakout guys have we had since the Epstein era?
Mookie Betts.
Mookie was pretty good.
Yeah, give me another one.
Bogaerts was pretty good.
Devers?
Bogaerts had a decent number of at-bats, I would say.
Yeah.
But
400 things obsolete now. That's
Andrew Benintendi never played a game in AAA.
Correct.
He didn't. Yeah. He was up like a little over a year later.
Which was probably a mistake because he should have played in AAA because he flamed out. He couldn't adjust.
I'm not sure he flamed out. I think them fucking with his swing changed Andrew Benintendi's career, to be honest with you.
Well, he came into whatever year that was, 2019, and he bulked up bad.
Yeah. Well, that's because they wanted fucking Loft.
Yeah.
So they got Loft, and you lost the player that he was.
He's had such a weird trajectory. Like a couple years ago, he hit for average, but he wasn't barreling the ball. And then last year, I think he had an uptick in home runs.
The Red Sox screwed him up.
Yeah,
absolutely they did.
Yeah, I was a big Benintendi guy. I really wanted that to work. And
had an amazing start. Then they decided launch angle was more important.
Yeah, in 2018, man, that catch, in the Astros series to end it. Yeah, he was just so good.
Yeah, they ruined him.
Yeah.
They ruined him, but they've developed a lot of players since then, since Theo's time. It's just, you got to remember, too, a lot of those Theo teams weren't really players that were developed here. I mean, Manny Ramirez, Johnny Dean.
Jackie Bradley couldn't hit well, but they developed him.
Yeah. Well, your starting outfield in 18 was all homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been able to develop hitters. It's the pitching that they can't.
That's no.
They don't draft enough of it.
I mean, our last GM didn't draft any.
You got to draft pitching high. I showed Jim something maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. And it was the last 10 years, like Tampa Bay's taken, say, 50 pitches in the first three rounds, and the Red Sox, would have been at like 12. Like if you don't have enough fish in the barrel, you're not going to catch them.
I don't think the Red Sox have drafted a top three round pitcher in like 7-8 years since like Trey Ball.
No, Houck was the last one. I think that was 2019. But
they draft shortstops. That's all they draft.
Yep. And then they turn around. Shortstops. And they turn around and be analysts for Nesson.
Yeah, terrible.
We're talking Devin Marrero right now. One of my favorite players of all time.
Sherrington had the worst drafts of any GM. Like, nobody from his 3 years really turned out.
Who?
Sherrington. They had just most of his drafts were busts.
Yeah, he wasn't great at drafting.
Yeah, I'm reading something right now. I guess the Mets are pretty engaged with Alonso.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's had no interest. Like, his numbers dropping every day. Same thing with Burns. Burns might fall into your lap on a much lower number than anyone expected.
I still don't think he falls into our lap. I don't.
Oh, not us. Maybe not the Red Sox person, but I don't think his number is going to be anywhere where they thought it was.
If it's under 250 and they don't sign him, it's a mistake.
I still don't sign him.
You talking about Alonso still?
Burns.
Oh, Burns, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really get to mention this, but if the Giants aren't if they're not going to get close to 300, I mean, all you got left is Toronto.
I don't think he's getting close to 300.
I
think he's going to be a lot closer than free than what he thinks.
Jimmy Stewart just tweeted out he'd be supportive of a Red Sox trade for Tatis Jr.
Yeah, everybody would. But yeah, I don't think Burns did he put
Anthony in the package though?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He just didn't mention anybody.
That's just hard. I mean, like I said,
that's not hard at all.
I would buy him a net jet and he would be there first class by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yep.
I wouldn't eviscerate the deal if it happened, but I just really like Roman Anthony.
I really like guys that can help me now.
Terry, did you like Hanley Ramirez Jr.? Whether he was junior or not, but did you like Hanley Ramirez? Were you pissed off that they traded him for Rob Beckett?
No, I wasn't. And
Hanley had more upside than Roman Anthony.
look at it this way. Go back to the 2007 World Series. Mm-hmm. Pedroia might have started that season at Fenway, but Ellsbury was playing Double-A in July. And so I just feel like if you don't mess with them, I just think Campbell and Anthony could be those two guys this year.
Only reason Jacoby got called up, I remember having a conversation with Epstein, was pure and simple. He was talking with Sherrington, and they're like, you know what? You love your boy Coco Crisp, but unfortunately, all the speed he has, you can't steal first base. He was horrendous. So they had no choice but to bring up Ellsbury.
Well, it worked out, and I mean, he's probably one of my favorite players. You know,
just like 13 with Bogaerts. I mean, if Mr. Ness and Will Middlebrooks didn't puke on himself, Bogaerts would have never come up.
Correct.
He had a pretty good stint in Triple A, I thought. So
but you wouldn't have brought him up though, not to play in the playoffs, going to the World Series. Except Middlebrooks almost cost you the World Series.
Yeah, he wasn't that good that whole year though. Yeah.
The best thing he did in Boston was score Jenny Dell. Other than that,
exactly.
Yeah, he was one of the more bigger disappointments, though, because, I mean, 2012, until he hurt his wrist, he was just off the charts.
Kerry, how old are you?
I'm 41.
Do you remember Phil Plantier?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
Do you remember Phil Plantier? Ever heard of Phil Plantier?
I saw him play many times.
Yeah.
He came up late one year, and I think he hit like 20 bombs the second half of the season. Came back the following year, lit it up, and after that couldn't hit a fucking blimp.
Yeah, and then he was traded to San Diego.
And out of baseball selling hot dogs somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't fall in love with prospects.
Phil Plantier is actually a coach for the Padres, I think, still.
Yeah, that's where he ended his career.
Same thing with Greg. There was a guy named Greg Blosser when the Red Sox were in New Britain. I used to go to the New Britain Red Sox like weekly. And same thing, big talent prospect, young kid, blonde haired. I mean, muscles huge.
I remember. Lars Anderson, same thing.
Yep. And Lars Anderson, another one. You know, can't miss.
On the cover of all the magazines. I don't think he ever played an inning in Boston.
Lars definitely played in Boston. Not very much.
No, Blosser never did.
No, Blosser.
Ruznay Castillo, $75 million. He played 90 games in the big leagues.
That was dumb. I mean,
and he probably could have played. I really do think he could have played in the major leagues.
Yeah, he definitely could have. But he can't hit a breaking ball.
The problem is
they didn't want to have the AAV cap hit or the luxury tax hit or whatever the fuck it was at that time.
Yeah, that was just because because of Jose Abreu. That's the only reason why they got Castillo.
Yep.
Was because they lost out on Abreu and they were chasing their tails.
Yep. But it's prospects, you know, not many guys are Bryce Hopper or Mike Trout or Strasburg coming out of the schemes now, obviously. You can get something that's already a proven talent, especially a young one. You got to do it.
But again, the thing is, I'm not talking about just trading Anthony for any old, wet hat. You know, it's got to be, I mean, I wouldn't, like Mike Trout, I wouldn't trade Anthony for Mike Trout. I need like a generational, still young, impact right-handed bat. And frankly, he's probably on the short list. I don't think there's many other people that you'd even want.
You bring up Mike Trout, and I've thought about this for so many years. He's finally, I mean, you have to pay him a lot of money, but he's finally at the point where you don't have to give up elite prospects for him. I wouldn't hate him on the Red Sox.
He's
probably only going to play 75 games, but those 75 games, he's going to be elite.
Yeah, it's hard to, you can't go into a season hoping to have success with him on the team because he's just not going to be able to finish the race.
Well, do what the Phillies did and just put him at first.
Yeah, but he gets hurt walking, this fucking guy. I mean, he's not even doing really anything to get hurt. Nothing really explosive.
I don't think the outfield is going to really help at this point.
Yeah, but I think he's another steroid guy and he's breaking down. I don't know if you guys have ever seen him in person, but he is fucking jacked.
So what do you, all right, just not to change the subject too much, but what are your thoughts? What's everybody's thoughts on this Bregman situation?
I don't want him.
I lean towards not wanting him just because if it's going to be 7 years, if it surprisingly comes down to 5 or 6 years, then I'm a lot more open-minded. But I don't want to give him an Adamas deal when you got so many guys in the pipeline. Like, us making the playoffs this year, it all hinges on the pitching. We're going to have the offense one way or the other. We'll get it done.
I kind of agree with that. I think if you go sign another pitcher, you have a better chance at making the playoffs than if you go sign Bregman.
I don't think the Bregman situation is just all about the offense. They need better defense around the entire infield. And that's part of their problem is with Devers. Yeah, I understand that, but I get it. But here's the other part of that. You've seen Devers have a shoulder issue this year. So, you know, do you want that to become a lingering thing, or do you want to take third base out of his hands?
What you have to do is you have to get him soft serve ice cream instead of hard serve, because using the scoop is fucking up his shoulder.
You make him the full-time designated hitter, and then don't even stick him at first base.
I'm for that too, but you got Blochita over there at the DH, so you got to move him. And to Terry's point earlier, I mean, if you could find a way to get Arenado and include Yoshida in that deal,
I'm all for that. Here, I think everybody in this that's talking right now has never liked Chaim Bloom, but if Chaim Bloom acquires Yoshida a second time, he's the dumbest baseball executive of all time, and I don't think he's that. I think he's dumb enough to go get Yoshida again.
All these chips you're trading are because of him. I got a
bet. You know, it's funny that you mention that, because there are a lot of GMs, when they change teams, they go get their old guys. I mean, look at Dombrowski. You got, you know, Rick Porcello. He wound up getting Noah Song, David Price. What's that?
Was Noah Song his draft?
Yes. I believe so.
Yes, he was.
So, you know, Rick Porcello, David Price, you know, he keeps,
same thing with Theo, Jim. I mean, he goes to Chicago, he goes, gets Lester, he brings in Rizzo.
Yep.
Well, I'm not going to talk like
Lackey
about Bloom here, but I think Bloom can realize that this 30-year-old DH he signed stinks. I think if he's going to go get his own guys, he's going to go get his 15th-ranked prospect that he fell in love with. Not Yoshida.
But Nick, it's also a situation too, is if they're really interested in moving Arenado too. Because a lot of times it could be bad contract for bad contract.
I still think Arenado gives more value than Yoshida will ever.
Oh, for us, he does. Absolutely.
Instantly, he's the team captain right away. Arenado is, and that's kind of what I like about him. But Nick, you made a good point on a podcast recently. You might just have to straight up DFA Yoshida.
That's what I would do, is DFA him. Or I think you have to go worst contract. I think if you gave him for Chris Bryant, I think it gets done. Like if you go to they might do that.
How about calling Yoshida for Montgomery?
The Red Sox in the early 2000s, I could see them DFAing Yoshida. The Red Sox of today are not going to do that. If they can't even spend money on a talent, you know, free agent right now, why are they going to just throw away $60 million or whatever he's owed?
Well, they gave Atlanta $23 million for the Cy Young Award winner, so anything's possible.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, it's similar to the Sandoval deal as well. I mean, I don't know. I just think.
But again, Terry, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I just think that
we were a big market team back then.
That extra spot in the lineup is just so valuable, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I want him off this team more than you can imagine, because he's just cogs up everything. You can't do anything with him there.
The big wild card right now is his shoulder. You know, how does he bounce back? And he was second on the team in average last year behind Duran. He was second on the team in on base behind Devers. So, I mean, he's not a total dud, but.
Yes, he is.
As a DH, he does not have enough
power.
He's
a total dud.
Yeah. He's a clog on this team. You need like liquid plum to get rid of this fucking guy.
I saw this dude hit bombs in the World Baseball Classic. And I'm like, yeah, we got a good player. No. He's not. He's a ground ball machine. He's a little roll over the second base machine. He does nothing.
Yeah, a little rollover.
Good. He's an
average, no speed, no defense.
Contact guy with below average power, a terrible defender, and
no speed.
Terrible speed. Yeah, he's got no above average tools besides maybe contact, and that's.
You're gonna see him use chopsticks.
The only thing he's gonna go down in history for is not being able to catch the ball and have the freaking ball hit the light and break it.
All I'm saying here is Sandoval was way worse.
Well, yes.
Sandoval was also a two-time World Series MVP.
Yeah, Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez were only signed because Nesson ratings were dropping, and they needed something.
We can also go into where the other anonymous GMs were like, "You overpaid for him for $50 million." Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like Chaim Bloom got fleeced on that deal. He signed day one. When's the last time a Japanese player signed day one? Never.
Yeah, yeah. And
say that again, Nick. 45, but 90.
What was the question, Nick?
This is like me being a little bit ignorant here, but I didn't know who Masataka Yoshida was until he was posted.
Okay.
And then I saw that Chaim Bloom signed him on day one.
He paid double what the next highest offer was.
And then it was an anonymous GM that came out, and I think it was the Blue Jays who actually said this because they were in on him too. And yeah, they said, we paid like $40 million over the next closest offer. Or something like that.
And yeah, the next closest offer was 43 change. You paid 90.
It's embarrassing that they went out. And no wonder he signed day one. I bet you Yoshida's like, I might get 45, 40 mil, and we'll call it like a great contract. And $90 million, sign it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, he's a Boris client.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, it's one decent tool,
and you don't give a guy with one okay tool $90 million.
You don't give one with one tool $765 million either.
And don't forget too, at that time, you know, there was a lot of rumbling that he was going to be the leadoff guy,
and that's what I wanted. And I still think, I don't still think, but when they first signed him, like, why is he not batting leadoff? Why is he batting fourth? Why is he batting fifth? Like, why
he didn't
he
want
this
he
guy?
Didn't,
if he's not he didn't want to,
he didn't even want to lead off.
No. Nope.
I think it's going to have to come down to that DFA. I really do. Another guy that I've thought about is Taijuan Walker, who I know Dombrowski wants out. He wants to get rid of that contract. So maybe that's a swap, but I don't know.
Yeah, Dombrowski won't take him.
They need an outfielder, but I don't think they want him.
Definitely not him. Yeah. All right, boys, I got an early morning.
I was just about to say, guys, we got to wrap this because it's going to be a podcast in the morning, so I got to wait for it to finish recording on my Audacity program. So appreciate you guys all doing this, and we'll probably do at least one more, you know, before the end of the year.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right. Take care, everybody.